Welcome to Wolfpack Women. I'm Denise, and today we have Susie Wellstead. I say today because she is going to be here long term. She is now my new co-host. She is emotional well-being coach and author of You Are Enough. Welcome, and yay, we're doing it together. So I thought, obviously, today is like our first time. And we don't have a guest or anything on today. So I guess it will be like a bit of a format where you just tell us a bit about yourself and you know, why you're doing what you're doing.
Okay. So as you've introduced me, I'm Susie Wellstead, emotional wellbeing coach, author of You Are Enough. And I also run a show on my local radio called Let's Talk. It gives awareness on mental health. And we all need awareness sometimes, because if we don't talk about things, we're not going to understand ourselves. And I'm a big believer to talk about things. I love what you do, Denise. As you know, I've been your fan for a while now, and the fan basis gets bigger because we're still connected, you know, and you've helped me an awful lot. I think one thing that really takes me to Denise is the fact that she taught me a process called emotional acceptance, which is amazing, especially if you've not allowed yourself to accept your past or anything. And it's truly, truly helped me to get to where I am today. I thank Denise for that. So then there was opportunities for us to collaborate. I didn't feel ready, as in ready, but we've still been in the loop. And it's not took a long time, to be fair, because I think another thing with Denise, she showed me that we can let go of things, but sometimes we hold on to our hurts and pains. So the biggest takeaway was, don't let the past define me, but allow myself to feel what I needed to heal so I could move on and do more good work that I'm doing. So that's kind of where I am. And I've always had passion for people and emotions for as long as I can remember. So I've always been caring, backgrounds in a bit of mental health with the NHS, worked with domestic violence. But when I started working for myself, I had to get real about it, and I couldn't. I kept stopping and starting with my clients. You may have experienced it yourselves. If you've got your own business, you stop and start with a client because they've brought you to a place where you've not actually dealt with your own stuff. And I kept putting it under the carpet, or kept thinking, it's okay, Susie, keep helping them, you'll be okay. But I wasn't. I was crumbling. I was cracking, and I couldn't cope because of my own trauma. Now, when I released my book, You Are Enough, in 2018, I seen a therapist who said to me, I'd got post-traumatic stress disorder, and that floored me. I mean, I'm just one person who's been really shut off to the world because of my trauma that happened in childhood. You know, we talk about dysfunctional families, but what are they? It's when you're not cared for, neglected, and not supported. And that's what I had all through my childhood until I made myself homeless at the age of 17. So as I got into my business and I started to realize something wasn't clicking, something wasn't in place, I had this passion to want to help people, but I wasn't helping myself. And I was trying to reach out, but I didn't know how to reach out because I didn't actually feel safe with people. Gosh, can you believe it? Somebody's trying to help other people, yet they don't feel safe in their own skin. And I think a lot of people do that, but I was in so much denial. Nobody talks about it. So I just kept thinking, keep going, keep going, keep going. And I think I was ready to jack the whole thing up again last year. And then I met Denise, and it's turned it around. It's really made me focus on how limited I made my life because of my old beliefs, because of my, you know, old thought patterns. Trauma, when you think about trauma, you're thinking physical abuse, emotional abuse, mental abuse. You know, there's a lot of kids that have been brought up in this world that are pretty sensitive and intelligent, yet they're not allowed to be seen, heard, or supported. And that can floor you for the rest of your life until you start meeting people that uplift you and encourage you. And I think that was on a call last week that somebody said to me, who's inspired you, Susie? And I thought, my gosh, I don't know, because they say, well, how have you come to where you are? And all I could think was Rocky Balboa. He's the influence to me. You know, George Michael, his music, Keanu Reeves, his movies. People like that have done it for me. And not only that, to think that I've sat in my life story as it is, yet created such an amazing family. I've been with my partner for 28 years, been married for 26 years. And I've got two amazing sons. You know, they work in the community, they do stuff, they're really, really amazing. And yet I was still holding on to this, oh my gosh, at home I didn't have this. It's like, it's just a different world. But you can do that too. And it doesn't have to be about talking therapies. It doesn't have to be a long haul. For me, it has been, because probably I needed to do that to show other people the way. But it's, I think, to know what I've created and stop giving myself a hard time, that's, you know, and again, that's with Denise's help, pointing those points out when I was listening to the good points. Because don't forget, I still wanted to be that bad person that was never there. It was just in my head.
And with the talking therapy, because a lot of people really don't want to talk about their problems, which I understand, like, you know, especially if you've been through a trauma, do I have to say it? It's going to make me feel worse. How is the process for you being different, like talking versus feeling or letting go?
I think when you talk about talking, I think you're so right. And a lot of people, when they come to see me, they think I am a counsellor. And I'll always say, do you know what? You know what it's like when you're speaking to somebody. And you know when somebody's in so much trauma, they don't even know how much trauma they're in, and they say something to you and the person just comes blankly at you and asks you a question or doesn't even get you anywhere. You actually start shutting down again. You actually start building your barriers up again and thinking, oh, I've tried that. That's not working. So for me, it's not about talking. And if you do talk and you talk to the right person and you laid all your cards down, I tell you what, that'd be so healing in itself. Even if you had a great mate, you know, we've all got great friends, but a lot of mine, I guess, they've always wanted to help, but they don't know how to help. They feel so hopeless when they hear your story because you've been uplifting everybody for years. So the difference is allowing yourself. Now, the thing with what you taught me with emotional acceptance was quite all right for me to get to when I wasn't resisting, because we will resist. When I say resist, subconsciously you stop yourself because subconsciously it's trying to save you, because that's the only part it knows. It knows to save you because you've taught yourself fear and anxiety as a child. And it's trying to save you, it's just trying to keep you safe. But when you actually go through your process, the emotional acceptance, the thing with that is, I'm a huge fan of mindfulness, so I've been doing that for a few years. And that rings true when you think about emotional acceptance, because you're sitting and observing. And that's the only way you start controlling your mind. Up until then, I was allowing my mind to control me, and I had to take full responsibility for what I was thinking about, because I'm doing that damage to me, nobody else. They all forgot everything that they did to me. It was what was happening within my head, my mind.
It was funny you say that about the head, because I've had clients where they have talked about when the moment their foot hits the floor, they are like really negative about themselves. Their head is going 100 miles an hour, and then it's like that all day, as well as doing their work, as well as doing, and no wonder, like, you know, you're down, you're tired, you can't do anything, because there is nothing else to do other than listen to what's going on. And I think sometimes, quite often, we resist that. We don't want to hear it, or we're just so used to hearing it. But it's almost like when you do the letting go process, you just give space for it, even though you probably think that you've given space for it before, but it's different, isn't it?
It is different, because these processes, what you're showing or what you're driven to, is helping you to love and accept yourself, because they're two things I never did for myself. I've had a bubble bath today, that's self-love. No, it's not self-love. Self-love meant start saying no to people that keep taking the, you know, crap out of you. You know, put some boundaries down, some good boundaries down for you. start doing what you want to do, stop saying yes to everybody. But these are all trauma-based symptoms. And then, you know, clearly you have to just think to yourself, when you're ready, I think, because, you know, I think when you think about your thoughts, I never ever thought that when a thought comes, it's probably coming up to leave my body. But because I kept suppressing it and putting it down, like, oh, I don't want to go there, it's too painful, I don't want to talk about it, it kept coming up. It came up 10 to the dozen then. Because I wasn't allowing myself to let that thought come in and think, oh, yeah, that's the past, goodbye. No, I had to fight it because I thought something was going to come and get me. That was how I was thinking. But as soon as you acknowledge it, you're accepting it. So there it is. But we don't do that. We think it's something total different. We think that, you know, if I allow those thoughts in, they're going to come and get me. Because we're full of fear. Think about what you had to do as a child. What's one thing? I mean, from the age of 0 to 7, your self-worth is so important. Now, something may have happened to you within that age where you picked up your mum, dad don't like when you're doing that, so you start to lie about how you feel. So there it is. You start on this journey of, oh, I can't tell how I feel because she's just going to go off on one, or I can't do XXX. And then if you think about one thing that you had to do, for instance, for me, was as simple as looking out for everybody else. I was cooking and cleaning at the age of 6, 7. So if I felt I was going against that, I'd have to stop and think, why am I doing that? Oh no, that's what my life's all about. No, it's not at 6 and 7. But there's the trauma then. Your trauma gets bigger and bigger, because once you don't do it, you probably get beaten or whatever. And then the trauma builds on onto that old trauma. And trauma basically is an event that's happened to you between the age of 0 to 7, I'd even say 0 to 10. You've kind of understood it in one way, like you knew there was a feeling, but cognitively, you've not got it. It's stuck in your head because you're trying to think, that didn't make sense to me. And you can go through all your life then, which I've been, because I wanted to understand why, what. And we're trying to understand what happened when in reality, you were just a child.
But I guess in your case where, you know, you had trauma over a long period of time, quite a lot of people will have one incident that will affect their entire life, right? So I guess a lot of people can relate to a misunderstanding could be something that brings them a lot of shame that, you know, stops them getting their voice heard. So you've had to do a lot of work on that, and you've come through. But coming through the other side of it, there comes a lot of wisdom and experience. So talk us through what you've experienced and where now, where do you feel you're at now with everything?
I think I'm a lot more clearer. I'm definitely a lot more clearer. I have dreams and visions, and I don't suppress that anymore. Years ago, when I had these great ideas, I can do this, I can do that, that's for somebody else, that ain't me, because I weren't brought up to believe in that. I weren't given praise. I didn't know I was enough. I didn't know that, you know, look at that big belief we all have, I'm not enough, or, you know, but you are enough. You've just been conditioned, and your experience is teaching you a different way of what you're believing to be true. And what we believe sometimes, you have to question that, because it's not the truth, it's a lie. But it can take you a long time, especially if we're conditioned, because that's what conditioning does. That's what TV does for you. You know, if you watch the news or whatever, you're being conditioned into a way. If you think about McDonald's or KFC, you're conditioned in that way because you've forever seen it. You're not really hungry, but hold on a minute, I've just seen that advert. Yes, I am hungry, you know? As easy as that. So think about what's been conditioned. So before, I may have had some vision or, oh my gosh, I've got a great idea, I want to do such and such. Oh no, that's not for me. Because if it was meant for me, it would have already happened. Or my mum and dad would have helped me. Or such and such. Oh no, you have to stop that. You have to start believing in your own magic, because there's magic, there's mystery to everybody and anyone. And you know what's got me through? And I'm going to be honest, I kept battling with myself, thinking, I fight with myself consistently, but something keeps going me through. right, even through all that trauma and doing what I do now, there's just a spark of greatness in me that's took me here to where I am. I believed in that speck, and I mean a speck, it might have been just a dot that's brought me here today. And that's what I believe in. I believe there's greatness in us all, and I believe that is what we need to wake up and follow. Because what we tend to do is follow the norm, which could be a memory and a bad memory, yet the inspiration is trying to come through. I was just telling somebody the other day, I don't have every day like this. I love life. I love everything that I have. I've created it. Why would I not like life? And I've got to take the good and the bad. But I have those mornings where I think, oh, gosh, you've only got to get to go on a Zoom. I don't have to have a wash. Nobody needs to know how I smell. But, and then I get the duvet over. Think, oh, just have 5 more minutes. And then I get that other voice. Susie, come on, you can do this. Get out of bed. That's the inspiration. But some people think inspiration's got to be massive, that everything's laid out for you and you're doing it. No, it's a step-by-step process. So it's like brushing your teeth, reminding yourself how much you love yourself. Now, years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do that, but that's my self-love, that's my self-care. I love you, Susie, you know, as it sounds. And then it'll be like, oh, what can I do today? Ah, I'll do some Qigong. That's good. So I have a list of things that I do like to do, but I don't like to be regimented. I don't want to be structured. I was controlled for 18 years. I don't want that. So I've got a list of things that I like to do, and then I'm just drawn to that, drawn to this, drawn to, you know, whatever. But whatever makes me feel good and happy, and that's what we're forgetting about life. As soon as you make the decision that you're going to follow, that you're happy, and whatever makes you feel good, things will change tenfold. But you need to believe it, nobody else. You can sit and wait for everybody else to believe in you, but that's not going to work. You've got to believe in you, and you've got to take those steps. Nobody else is going to do that for you. So if you're sitting waiting around for somebody to say, we're going to do this, no. You've got to do this. You have to take full responsibility of the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that does not mean beating yourself up, because so many people beat themselves up. It means being kind, being gentle, have that self-compassion for yourself. And if you don't, if you want to say it to a five-year-old, don't say it to yourself, because you're always listening.
Yeah, there are people, though, that have experienced, like, trauma that almost can't see the benefit of becoming great, so they don't go to that inspiration and they end up staying there because there's benefits to being the victim, right? There, you know, people recognize you, people see you, and I, you know, it's almost like a badge of honor that they've gone through this. What would you say to those people?
When I come across that and they feel stuck and stagnated, I know then whether I'm following some wisdom, but they need to feel safe. A lot of people need to feel safe. You know, they're trying to, you know, it's like I was talking about the inner child the other week, and I was saying to us that, you know, people call it ego or shadow work, but what if it is your inner child? Because the Buddha states that it could be part of your inner child, because that's the part of you that wasn't seen. Hold on a minute. You know, it feels like an ego because you're fighting with it. But what if it's that little child that just wants you to acknowledge it and say, yeah, okay, but then you have to mother that child and let that child know that you're safe now. You are safe. You are safe to say what you want. I've got you. We never say that to ourselves. And you may have been through some kind of trauma as a child, and you will not know that. You will not know that until you're older, because nobody talks about it. Nobody actually says, do you feel safe within you? Because you think, what kind of thing is that? But if you actually allow yourself even to journal on, do I feel safe today? Do I feel safe in my body? See what comes up for you. You know, because it's all about feeling safe inside your body.
And that's something a lot of people experience, right? Especially now, where people don't feel safe to go out, especially if they're not like 100% healthy.
But what's happening now is, with the pandemic, which I don't talk about the pandemic or the virus, because stress and anxiety has always been here. It's always going to be here. The thing is, we've had all this quiet time to ourselves, so our awareness is getting bigger and bigger. Your consciousness is getting bigger and bigger. You're becoming aware of what you do like and what you don't like. But another thing with that awareness is the fact that, you know, I've lost it. That's the thing. You know, when that bit of wisdom comes and you've gone over it and it's lost it. So the thing is with that is that as you find that your consciousness is rising, people are thinking they've took this time off and they think that they don't know themselves anymore. They feel that, you know, this pandemic, it's not about the pandemic, if that makes sense. You always had that fear that you're feeling. You've always had that anxiety that you're feeling. Was it something you created as a child as the coping mechanism? So what's happening now you've had all this time to yourself and you're becoming more aware, is it erupting like a volcano because you keep pushing something down that wants to come up? And it's not a breakdown, it's a breakthrough. Mm. If you allow yourself, and yes, it can be scary when you're on your own, but get some support. You know, there's so much support now. Don't go with the first person, go with how you feel. Some people say, you know, oh, it's not about how you feel all the time. Yes, it is about how you feel. If you feel safe with somebody and you feel that you can get some kind of guidance or healing from them, do it, because you know everything. They're just going to guide you to what you always knew, you know? And I keep saying it. I've only said it yesterday on the radio. The truth will set you free. Your truth sets you free. Not Denise's truth against mine. My truth sets me free. And that's why I feel open, honest, relaxed. I love being like this. This is the true me. I've got nothing to hide because I'm telling people the truth.
Yeah. You know? But when someone's feeling like that, they blame others, right? So the external, it can't possibly be me. And so they start to judge others. Well, that person's not wearing a mask, or that person's being stupid, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it's quite a difficult time for people to reflect, although it's the perfect time because there's no distractions as such, or less distractions now that everything's starting to open, obviously. But yeah, there's a tendency to blame others where, like you said, the truth is within, right? So mm-hmm. And that's where the blame aspect comes in, because when you start to blame others, that's more to do with how you feel, right?
A lot of people we avoid and we escape. I've done it for years. We do, until we get to that pinnacle point. And what happens with human beings is the fact that we're not being, we're doing. And we have to be really sick and tired before we make a change. And I mean sick and tired. You're not just going to do it because Susie said and Denise said. You're going to wait till you've really put yourself through some kind of before you decide to say, right, enough is enough.
Yeah, no, it's true. I guess when I started asking for help, was when I literally couldn't see a way out, and I was like, I can't go on like this anymore. My head is literally gonna explode. Otherwise I wouldn't have changed, because I was like, I felt like I had the ability to change my problems. But what made the process a lot easier was the intuitive aspect to coaching, because genuinely, I didn't even know I had that much of a problem. I'm so stupid now. I don't know if you've ever felt like that as well, but I thought that, and then when my coach was able to be intuitive with me and saying, you feel like this, you feel like, oh my God, you know me better than my husband. This is weird. And myself. So, like just verbalizing those things was like, oh, kind of made me feel good without having to say it. I didn't have to say anything. And that's how, I guess, that when you connect with someone like that, it makes the process so much easier to like just let go. Mm. And one of the things that was said to me was, everything's going to be okay. And I know it sounds really simple, and but when somebody else reassures you like that, you just, at that point, especially when you feel desperate, it's just like, you need to hear that, and just keep repeating, everything's going to be okay, everything's going to be okay. And those words do make a difference as well.
I guess really life, you know, life is an emotional experience, and that's what we tend to run away from, our emotions. Our darkest emotions can be the gems of our life if we allow ourselves, but we don't share enough content like this to get people to really understand that, hey, this, I'm not enjoying how I'm feeling, but hold on, can I unpick it and unfold it? And not even that, if you use emotional acceptance, you know, it's getting it out there tenfold, like we deal with the negative stuff, you know, the negative, you know, our minds are biased to pick up the negative before they pick up the positive anyway, you know, because why are so many, because if it was so easy, why isn't everybody doing it? Number one, we don't like reflecting. We don't want to look back. We don't want to know that we trigger XXX. You know, so it's the way we've been taught. Again, it's all about conditioning. And until you start having open conversations like this, people don't feel safe to say what they want to say. They don't feel safe being who they want to say, who they want to be. You know, we go on about masks, we go on about everything, but people are wearing masks all the time. You're not 100% yourself. People don't like truth sayers, so people avoid saying the truth because people don't. Well, that's their problem. It doesn't stop you from being the amazing person that you are. You continue with your truth, regardless, because you can sleep at night, you know? You know, when we have vulnerable moments, you've had vulnerable moments, I've had vulnerable moments, like I did yesterday on the radio, you know? But that vulnerability, it's okay to be vulnerable, because that's the only way we're going to get other people to understand. At the end of the day, I was kind of crippled about it. Oh, my gosh, I've shared such and such. But does it matter? It was my truth. If it's your truth, it's going to set you free.
Yeah, well, the moment as well, like the moment you're willing to talk about anything is when you're like completely set free, isn't it? I was just going to tell you, I had a coaching session with a woman like a couple of years ago, and she... I don't think she experienced it. I don't think she knew what she was getting into. She was part of like my fitness group. And I was like, oh, you know, let me do this, blah, blah, blah. I was just starting to learn the process. And I was like, oh, have you felt like this as a child and da, 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 and people think this and da, da. And I read her like a book and we shifted so much. And then we ended the call. It was really late at night. And I just wanted to message her to see if she was okay and stuff. She blocked me. never to be heard again. So like that shift, and she was feeling, she was going through a divorce. She was like, there was a lot of shame and because it was a cultural thing as well. Like, and she was in she had a really good job, but she was having problems with her like business partner and stuff. So there was a lot of stuff going on. Plus she was like a single mum with two like toddlers under the age of two. So she was experiencing a lot of stress. So she had a lot of transition, but she didn't like the way she felt. And yeah, that was it. And people don't want to feel, like you said, they don't want to experience it. But had she just done maybe even one other session, it could have just transformed, just shifted and just taken her to another level. And the point I'm trying to make is when people take that, like that first step is the hardest, especially if you're feeling like completely shit and you don't know what you need to do. Once you've taken that step, the next step is a lot easier than last. It's like doing a workout. You know, whenever you've done your first workout for a long time and you are in agony the next day and you can't walk for a week or whatever, but it's never as hard as it was the first time. It just gets easier after that. So yeah, I just wanted to make that point. What do you resonate with that?
Yeah, Oh, yeah, definitely. Because we're not here to fix or change anybody. I believe we're all here. And with that life experience that you've experienced, you teach others the other way. You show them the way. You're not here to fix, change anybody at all. And what happens is sometimes people like your energy, they're like, and we go off because we've experienced it all and we can see a different picture, but they'll only take it. It's like when they say that, you know, a lot of people in crappy relationships because they only go to what they believe they deserve. Do you know what I mean? So it's like that person's put a block on it straight away, or their subconscious has stopped them. And we've got to just allow it to be what it is, because, you know, you did 100%. It was all open, honest. But some people aren't ready to hear that. And we have to respect that and let that go. Because I'm a big believer. I don't know about you, people saying 6-month packages or this. People haven't got the money for that sometimes. They just want 1-2 sessions. They don't need to be held on thinking it's going to be forever. Why give people, you know, that's the same as we spoke about talking therapies. Why talk about something for 6 months? You know, I'm not saying people can't do it or won't do it, but that's what puts people off half the time of working on themselves, because they think it's going to be such a big job. Mm. You know, it was a big job for me because I kept going into the battle of denial. I didn't want to admit what had happened to me. I wanted to make out my mum and dad were fantastic. I come from a loving home. I'm so supportive and I'm this, that. But you've got to be mindful of what you're saying to yourself, because that's not the truth. So if you're denying, because if you're denying all that, you're denying your own greatness. And that's what a lot of people do anyway. They get glimmers of it and they think, that's not me.
But do you think that denial kind of helped you in a way to create your life now?
You what, sorry?
Do you feel like that denial in a way helped you create your, you know, your family, your loving environment, because you were still able to create something positive even through that denial?
Yes, and I think it's that greatness within you. There's a greatness that I kept following, and there's no way I was going to treat my kids the way I was treated. There's no way, you know, at times, I'm not kidding you, you know what you like with toddlers or something, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what can I do? And you want to react like your parents reacted, and you think, no, you can't do that. What are you doing? So your mind, you know how powerful your mind is. It sends you all over the place. So I think I had that greatness within me anyway, because my hubby worked from 4 till 6 at night. I hardly seen him. You know, I've got 2 young kids. I wanted more, but I knew I couldn't have more because I couldn't handle 2. But I was being honest with me, I guess, in my way. But there's that little spark of greatness within you that carries you forward, that takes you forward. I'm not going to say I didn't smoke and never drank. I did, because I wanted to escape what was happening in my head. I wanted to escape, and the only way I could find it was a pint or whatever, just numb it, just dissolve it, just take it away. I don't want to know, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes
though, that feeling isn't some obvious, like in terms of thoughts, but it'll be like a nervous energy. It'll be a buzz, it'll be a heaviness that will just make you feel unsettled and you won't know why. Sometimes like the feelings aren't always obvious to you, right?
I think the thing with me was I always knew that even though I had everything, I just didn't feel happy. There was just a sadness. And I even went to the doctors, gosh, 20 odd years ago, you know, and I said, I don't know what's up with me, I'm never happy, you know. And he says, well, who is? And that was it. I thought, is that a doctor's appointment, really? Honest.
You know? You know what, when you said that, I was like, what is the doctor going to say? Because
That's what you said to me.
Yeah, I can imagine. 20 years ago, though, like, they wouldn't have even considered, like, mental health, right?
No.
It wasn't a thing.
And he just said to me, well, who is? And I'm like, oh, right, okay, then.
So what did you do?
Well, you see, I did see a therapist because obviously my kids were getting older, and it's only through helping out. I've seen a counsellor, a relate counsellor, who's fantastic actually. He's the one who encouraged me to become a life coach because he said, you're really good. He didn't like the way I bullied myself and punished myself. And then I continued for years because you believe you are the problem, you know? So, and he said to me that, you don't like yourself much, do you? And I just burst into tears. And I think this is the whole thing when you speak to somebody, and we've done it with friends, and it's not helping because it's not healing you. It's actually, there's so many different ways. I always say with anybody, you know, it's worth a 20-minute phone call if you like what you see. I even tell people, just buy my book, and if it resonates with you, come and work with me. I don't expect people just to see me and like what I do. I'm not about like and sharing. I'm about status. Let's make a difference in the world. Don't sit there waiting for everybody to love you, because nobody's going to love you. And people say, well, you're just a nice person. Well, you don't know me then, because when my truth comes out, I'm going to tell you the truth, and it's not going to be nice, you know. So we've got to be mindful of these things. But I think when I spoke to him, I started to realise, but, you know, you've got a couple of kids, and you're like, you know what you like when you've got kids running about, and you think, oh, I can't let this happen because I don't want to look like an unfit mum. I don't want to look unstable. I've got to keep it together. We have all these stories in our head, you know.
Would that have been of the time, though, as well, right? Because now it's almost all right to talk about, like, I saw a coach, well, she's not a coach as such, like she calls herself a priestess, talking about hiding from her like 14-month, like less than 2-year-old child in the cupboard. Like and I'm like, how are you leading the way in terms of like consciousness and running away from this like tiny little girl? Like, how annoying can she be? Like, spend a day with my two. and I was just like a bit kind of disappointed, if I'm honest, and a bit upset that that's how she felt about her kid. And it's good in a way that people are like, this is how I'm feeling. But now that's like, okay, to feel like that is normal, but it's not, in my opinion. Like, there's a better way.
We've got a nation, we've got a social media that has portrayed us to sugarcoat our life into positive law of attraction and stuff like that, but people get it wrong. It's all about feeling. I'm not saying that if you're feeling rubbish or whatever, don't deal with it. I know how I dealt with it. I witnessed a mum popping pills all her life. That was not for me. I've not popped a pill. I don't want to do that. I don't, you know, that just led to more, you know, depression. So I'm not saying you avoid it or escape it. Just be man enough to tell yourself that I don't feel right. Either I'm going to journal this out, or I'm going to get some support, or I'm just going to write it out. Because writing is really good for you to write that stuff out and put it in the bin, you know, because that's what we've been taught, aren't we, to sugarcoat everything. And then it made me think, when I first started my business and I was doing self-love and that, I was trying to sugarcoat it. And there came a point that I can't sugarcoat this no more, because I'm trying to support people, not, you know. And when you're working for Samaritans or places like that, you're okay, you've got that backup. But when you're working for yourself, you've got to be so mindful. You know, people need nurturing, they need supporting, they need positivity, but in the right, correct way. I don't like to use the word positive or negative, really. It's either a bad feeling or a good feeling. That's it. Because we get filled with labels, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the good, bad feeling, yeah, everything does seem to be labelled positive, negative, or what's the other ones? I don't even think now. I mean, you said that you like the term mindfulness. I'm not a massive fan, because I feel like nobody really understands it.
I don't like it in two ways. I say mindfulness, but I'd rather be self-aware.
Yeah, self-aware is the best way to put it.
Because I had somebody say to me, you know, when you said mindfulness, and I've done practices for people, I've done it for myself, I've done it for people coming here, depending on who you're speaking to, because we've only walked our own experience, their experience could be, when you keep saying mindful, have I got to get my mind full? Have I got to... Do you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. You've got to be really, really careful. That's why a lot of people, especially trauma-based people, are trying to do breath work, they're trying to do meditations, and they're trying to do, and it's not working for them, because That's the worst treatment you can give to somebody who wants to heal some trauma, because it actually makes it worse for them, because it comes to them tenfold as if it's a spaghetti junction, and it throws them off course to think, oh my gosh, I thought this was the best thing for me, it's not helping me. So for me, it's to get back into your body, you know, get into your body and do something like Qigong or, you know, some Zumba. Get that physical fitness in you and then start practicing something to be in the moment. And, you know, in the moment can be, I talk about being in awe of things. And I've been doing it for the last couple of weeks. That, you know, even in this room, what are the six things that I like about this room? Oh, I love the colour. You know, oh, gosh, I've got my denim jacket on, my book's here. But if you pick just three things or four things and then make a sentence of it, I don't like that book. Oh, you are enough. I am enough. Do-do-do-do-do. You know, and go off in. You can spiral. If you can spiral in the bad stuff, why can't you do it on the good stuff? You know? Because we're not taught that. We've got to show you the way.
Yeah. It's true. And it's interesting that you said that about the breath work and trauma, because recently I experienced one of my friends who has been doing breath work, and she called me like with the massive like panic attack, and I had to bring her back down, and like to the point where she couldn't walk. She lost the use of her legs. She had to slide down the stairs because she felt like everything was caving in. Her hands and feet had curled up, and yeah, and you know, I'm trying to talk her through it just to calm her down. And I was like, I don't understand why you're not just doing it like knowing where you're going with it. Because when you know, when we break down either whatever's coming up you need to work on, and or just creating awareness to something and then you work on it, versus it's almost like trying to renovate your house all at the same time. It's going to be overwhelming, right? And I guess that's the difference between the two.
There's so much trending though nowadays, isn't it? Breathwork seems to be the buzzword.
Yeah.
But the breathwork that I know about, because your breath is important, is when you breathe right down to your belly and do the box breathing. You know, even draw a box, 1, 2, 3, 4, pause, 1, 2, 3, 4, out, 1, 2, 3, 4, back up again, 1, 2, 3, 4. And that actually takes a lot of people out of that fight flight mode, you know, when they're always in that mode of fight, flight, or freeze. And the best way to do that is, because as soon as you start focusing on your breathing right down to your belly and you start counting 1, 2, 3, 4, stop, 2, 3, 4, out, 2, 3, 4. But the person's got to want to be patient with themselves. It all takes time. Your breath work is great, but not in the way that we see with some of it, because it doesn't. It actually, like you said, people get into panic attacks and in a right state, and people don't need that. We need to be able to, that's what I mean. You can't just pace somebody and just say, you know, that's why safety is so important, grounding and safety. So important to start off these kind of work for some, because it's scary for some people. You don't know what they've walked. You don't know their life. They resonate with you. They like you. They know you've overcome something, but how's that going to benefit me if I don't feel safe, if I don't feel, you know?
Mm. So what can somebody who's experiencing trauma right now, but that wants to change, what can they do within themselves just to make them feel good before they take that next step of, like...
They've got to, I believe you've got to be honest with yourself. You've got to be honest to that point. And you know what? And really be committed to what you want to do. Decide that, gosh, I've just seen such and such. I want to do just that. But I've got so much hurt and pain in me. I've got a barrier of hurt, and that hurt is because you love so hard and somebody's done you over. We've all had that, and we build more on it, resentment, jealousy, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But be true to yourself and work with what you've got. Your emotions are so powerful. But let go of those old, dense emotions that you've been feeling for so long. Don't keep lying to yourself either. Because you'll think, I'll do that. But you're lying to yourself. Listen to your life. Sometimes you don't pick up on it because it's self-talk. But just be honest with yourself. Make the decision that you want to do this for you. And then start taking those small steps and be okay with it. Nobody's telling you. Nobody's telling you to rush. It's just that you feel all this danger within you that needs to just settle down. You know? And you know when you talk about self-acceptance, you know, there's a part of you. You know there's a part of you that loves you. You know, when I very first did this exercise of self-acceptance, but it was more about self-love because I had problems with self-love. You know, who doesn't have these problems because you think, why has it all stopped? It must be something I've done. I've got to stop loving myself. So I had to work with myself once and something had come up for me and it was old stuff and I just sat with it because you don't even need healing. Just allow it to be there. Just be mindful. Be aware that something's coming up for me that I don't even know what it is and I don't like it. Acknowledge it. And then with that part of you that loves you, give it that love, give it that compassion. It just wants to be held in your presence, meaning give it that bit of attention and then let it go. Yes, it takes time. It takes practice. We have to work on this every day, don't we, Denise? Ourselves. Yeah. You don't just come out of stuff just like that. You know? That's why people relapse on these tablets and, you know, counselling and stuff. They just feel worse. But sometimes it's because it needs to come up. It needs to be seen for what it is. Just acknowledge it. As soon as you acknowledge it, it seems to disappear. But it's when you're fighting it, thinking, no, she did that. And then you get...
Yeah, no, the whole fighting thing. But the thing is, it's like you said, it's a process, it's a journey as well, right? It's like, well, again, I'm going to use another fitness analogy, given that I was a personal trainer for 15, 20 years. But once you've done a workout, that's not just it, right? You've got to keep training. You got to get your fitter. You can do one thing, you could, and then because the more you let go, the more you're capable of doing. It is the same process. If anything, there is more greatness within your wisdom and experience than there is within your body. Obviously your body can do incredible things, but I think the creative side of it is a lot more spectacular. The certain things and the way that people push themselves to create big businesses, and that always kind of fascinates me more than somebody doing a marathon, for example, because I'm always like, why would you do that? But what's your opinion on that?
You're right. Again, it's all about, you've got to take responsibility of how you feel, and we don't do that. You know, if you think about it, love is a feeling that you created. Only you got it because you're the one who created that feeling. And then we need to take responsibility, but we get into our heads thinking, well, she didn't take responsibility for me. Why should I do? So we go back into the blame game and we go back into judging and criticizing and comparing stuff. When you start working for yourself, when you start working on you, you actually do start caring for yourself and you do love yourself more than you've ever done. And that's what keeps taking you forward. Because as cliche as it sounds, self-love is what does it for you. We don't like that word because we've never been taught that. We've never been told that love is one of the best things you can do for you. Yeah. So we run away from it. Or we think somebody else is going to love us the way we need to be loved, but it's not true. Only you know because you've experienced it. Let me just give you a clear example of what I'm saying here. Okay, we've spoke about my trauma, we've spoke about it, and as you know, I've only told you about it lately. I only have one great memory of me as a child, believe it or not, there's only one great memory. And that's why I understand myself a lot more now, why I kept turning to that I don't deserve, I'm not worthy, I'm not this, I'm not that. I have one great memory of me, 1977, 7 years old, Maypole dancing. It was a silver jubilee, 25 years of jubilee. Elvis had died, you know, stuff like that. But I was so happy in that playground, playing, you know. Teacher was looking out for me, got me under the tree, really looked after me. That meant a lot to me. She said to me, my work was fantastic, you know. And then we had a street party of ice cream and jelly. And I didn't even know that. I mean, I did some work with Mastin Kip a few years ago. Needed a meditation, which that came up, and I still tried to suppress it, thinking it's not me. That's how powerful you are. If you want to block stuff, you can do. And I was blocking my greatness because I didn't want to prove. I wanted to be my mum and dad's girl that probably felt just like they did because of their upbringing. I'm not saying they're bad people. They did what they did to me because that was the best they knew. They probably followed patterns of their own stuff. And we're not as understanding nowadays that probably it's not that. That doesn't mean I feel sorry for them. It just means that as an adult, I take full responsibility for who I am and where I sit today and know that I have that one great feeling. And from that great feeling of a seven-year-old, I can do anything. And that's what we did. You know, we go places, oh, I remember my favourite ice cream. No, I don't remember my favourite ice cream. Probably never even had one. I had to share my chocolate. I had hand-me-downs. I had whatever. You know, and a lot of people would have lived like that, but we don't talk about it. Because when we talk about it, we go into this, oh, you're just a poor pig, you're just this, oh, you. But who do you think you are? You're never going to be nobody. No. You are with somebody. Overcome that. Find people that can champion you and inspire you to get yourself back into that driving force of that greatness, because we've all got that greatness.
So I'm going to end this with a quote from you.
Okay.
It came up in a session once. You'd cleared something and you said it, and I said, I'm going to write that down. That was really good. I don't know if you remember it. My love will drown the hate within you.
Mm.
That's what you said. Do you remember saying it?
Something's telling me it was pain, not hurt, not hate. But yeah. Because that's the powerful force within you of love. And if you've got that, you've got everything. Well, you really have.
Thank you so much. This is our first one, first of many now.
Yeah.
And Susie will be on every week, and we'll have our guests and Susie. So looking forward to it, Susie. And thanks for listening. Speak to you later. Bye.